We're going to have the reading of the scripture, and I'm going to ask to Elizabeth Stewart to come and guide us in this reading. It happens to be my daughter.
This is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I love you, Elizabeth. In English and Spanish. I know. Let us pray. Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity that we have to be here in this church. You have called us from different places and different stories to be one through you. And we pray, Lord, that may your word guide us to be one and also to share that with others. In your name we pray. Amen. We are in one of the most exciting times and seasons in the church. Last week we celebrated Easter, and it was amazing to remember that we are in a church and we are, as Christians, believers, that we do not talk to a dead God. Our God is alive. Amen. And our God is accessible where we are. But our story does not end there. There is more about that. We have this to remember about the story, and it is the foundation that we are here and we're prepared Pentecost. You know what it means? Is that the Holy Spirit comes among us. And because of the Holy Spirit, we are able to have something called ecclesia. How many of you know what this word means? It's very easy if you speak Spanish, because it's very similar in Spanish. What is it, Charles? Church. Yes, Charles, give me five. Yes, you see, we have one person who... Okay, great. Ecclesia means church. And it has a very important meaning too, because it comes from the Greek and also has some public place or an assembly. As Christians, we are called to become one here. Now, how do we become a church? Where do we start? And many of us, we start where our brother Joshua is, and it is in baptism. Is when we proclaim and recognize, my life belongs to Christ. How many have that proclamation here today? Can say amen? That's where we start. Now, if you have never done that, if you have never proclaimed, I don't want you to hear this as judgment. I want you to hear this as an invitation for you. Because we can assure you that once that we have been going through that, that life is tough. But when we know that we are living it through the Lord Jesus Christ, life now has meaning. And we know that this is just a season of our life. We are always with that hope of that eternal life in Christ. Amen? So we are all in starting in there. Now, what a church is too, is a place of accountability. It's a place where we grow with each other. You know, we are all one family. And how many of us in our family, we have family members that are amazing and family members that are challenging? Do we? I have told you many times, we all have a weird uncle in our family. And if you say, in my family is not happening, you are probably the weird uncle. And nobody will tell you that. We have all of us go through that. As a family, we stick together. I tell you that if your two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. But this is also not just in a place of gathering. It's a gathering with a purpose. If you see the context of where the scripture is, it's in a context to learn to give and provide forgiveness. And it's a place to maintain ourselves accountable to that. So anytime that we're talking about church, it's not something individual. It's something that I learned here in Texas. It's about the all, right? We are all in this together. Now, we are committed to grow in seven different ways when we become part of the church. So now you're going to need to put your speedy Gonzalez brain, because we're going to go through these seven very quickly, or you're going to need to write them down or memorize them or take a picture. You pick whatever is easier for you. But anytime that somebody asks you, what does it mean to be confirmed? What does it mean that you belong to a church? This is what we expect from every person. The first one, can you say that word? Renounce. The first thing that we are called is to renounce. What do we renounce? Any agreement that you have with the devil or sin. Anything of that. And it's very important that we take that initiative. By renouncing doesn't mean that you overcome it already. It takes a process in some cases. But you need to take a decision of saying, really, this aspect of my life is not something that I would like to nurture anymore. A decision of saying, God, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to have that part of my life. I need to get rid of that. How can we do this? One of the beautiful things is that we know that we don't do this alone. We do it with the process and the connection with the church. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of what? Witnesses. Who are those witnesses? All y'all, right? All y'all, that will be the Texan translation. We are a great cloud of y'all. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. How many of you are runners? Carly? Okay. Now, what happens if suddenly your shoe comes off? Or if somebody's running the wrong way, you will fall. It's easy that we can get there, and we want to protect ourselves from that. All you entangle yourself. It says, severance the right. Who is running? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So we are called to say, you know, it is in this place where we can find strength to be able to say, I want to be a better person for the sake of you. You want to be a better person for the sake of me. So together we grow in Christ. So that's what we say. I don't want any agreement with Satan or any agreement with sin. I want to grow for the sake of the church and for the sake of the word. One person that can become a person. I'm proud of you. Second, you're meant to be. So that was the accept. What? How do we renounce? I'm proud of you. Second, that renouncing alone. What we accept is the freedom, but also the power in our lives by the Holy Spirit. What it happens is, the scripture tells us in Acts 1:8, that's what we are celebrating in June. The Pentecost is about coming of the Holy Spirit. It says, you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So what it means is that we accept and we say to the Lord, Lord, I want to get rid of this sin. But I know it's not something that I'm going to be able to do in my own. Have you tried to do it in your own? Are you successful? It's like when you say, I'm going to be on a diet. And then you say, I'm going to do it in my diet on my own. And today I'm going around Dunkin' Donuts. How successful are you going to be? Zero. But if you have a help, a person there with you, holding your hand, not toward Dunkin' Donuts, but against Dunkin' Donuts, it gives the Holy Spirit a bit more strength. It's the same in us and also reminding us who we are for the Lord. So it is also saying, you know, your life has a deep value. Don't waste it on that. Your life is empowered by Christ. Don't waste it on that. Remember that in Christ, you are a person of worth. Do not let those lies come and try to tell you something different. Therefore, we accept that power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so which is the second word? Okay, let's say very good. The first one, confess. Okay, so now you are rid of the sins. Now the Holy Spirit is in you. Now here comes business. Now here is the time when you confess. What are we called to confess as Christian? Just one thing, Jesus. That simple. We confess Jesus. How do we confess Jesus? We confess Jesus in the way you can. By your actions, by your words, by your relationships, you confess Jesus all the time. What we learn is, I love this scripture, and this is about the Samaritan women, or the women at the well. And one of the things that happened to her is she went through that process of, she was able to see her sins. She wanted to renounce those sins. She was able to listen that Jesus was telling him that he was that water of life. And then she said this, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? She immediately confessed who was the Lord Jesus Christ, presence with Jesus. How many of you have prayed and you have sensed God telling you clearly yes in a prayer? Raise your hand. How many of you have prayed and you have felt also God telling you no, and later you realize, I'm glad he said no. Like my first boyfriend, praise God you say no. I'm just kidding. Don't tell anybody. But it's like, okay, God makes sense. We're glad, right? How many times God, we can't wait and it's not fun. Say, I know what it is to talk to Jesus. And sometimes I agree with his answer. Sometimes I disagree. But in the long term, I can see where he was going. And in some cases, we won't see that till we are in heaven. And as we have said, maybe in heaven, we won't care. But we are about proclaiming Jesus in everything we are. Now, so which was that one? Proclaim. And then remain. This is the other thing. Yes, we're proclaiming Jesus, but it's not something that we do in isolation. Remember, this is the call for the ecclesia, for the church, for the all y'all. So we remain what? Members and ambassadors of the church. Now, let me tell you, this is probably the hardest part of all what we're saying. Why? Because one of the things that happen is when you are connected with the church is the family. You connect with a family. And let me tell you, unless you are unique, every family has a dysfunction. Don't we? Somehow. Dysfunctions are not that hard. We all have something where we need to grow and we are challenged. As a church, we are too. There are places where we hurt each other. There are places where we help each other. But there is one important thing, is that we remember that we need to stick together. The scripture says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, are important. All its many parts form, don't care if you are, so it's with Christ. How old is Joshua? Are important in him. 7 months old, he's asleep. Perfect. You know, so Joshua is asleep, or this beautiful boy here over there that I don't know whose name, but he's cute. I mean, we all different ages, and I don't know who's the oldest person in here. 85 years old, raise your hand. 87, 89, no, okay. So regardless of your age, every person in this place is important. And as we were looking at the different puzzles around us, every piece is important. So I want you to stay connected. We do not grow disconnected. Now the next one, be loyal. To who? We are not loyal just to another person. We are loyal to something important. To who? To Christ. And now we are part of a denomination, the United Methodist denomination. Now, remember, the United Methodist Church is done by people who are not perfect. We do mistakes too. Here we have the district superintendent. He can tell you about that. We all have done mistakes, right? Pastor, have you found one pastor with no mistakes? No, right? Everyone has a mistake. So we are all here in a process of growth. We are connected through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that process, I love this, that John Christ for my Savior, the whole Bible for my book, the whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field. How many would like to say amen to that? Won't you like that to be the lead, what you, every morning you wake up, and this is what you see, and this is what you remember. That's what we are called to be loyal to that truth. And then the next thing is, we are also human to do what? To participate. And that's why we also ask to the confirmants, and that's what we proclaim when we receive Joshua in baptism and these guys who confirm. We are here for 5 things. What do? Prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. Every one of us is called to do those 5 things. In different ways. We serve different, we give different, but we are called through that to participate. And then we are also called to do what? To profess. What do we profess? We profess what is the Bible. And you see, we believe in the Bible, that Old Testament and New Testament is the Word of God. So the scripture says in 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from where? from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So those are the seven things that we are called to do. And when we are able to do that, so today the invitation, guys, is that the words that we say to Joshua, the words that we say to these three guys that confirmed today, were not just words, but a commitment from our lives. So I invite you today that while we are all here together, you say to God, God, I really want to be part of a church, part of a place that is capable to be used by God to transform this world. Amen. And if that's where you want to go, I invite you to stand up. And while we're singing this, may God guide us to be the church for his glory.